Good morning and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, your host of this very fast-paced half hour of special topics and special guests designed to help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. So sit back with your cup of coffee and your Danish, and hopefully you'll get something out of today's show. We're talking about tax changes, of course, because there were an awful lot of them passed on January the 1st. But before I do, let me make sure that you know that this show is sponsored by and brought to you by the premier law firm of Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, located in Reston, Virginia, serving the entire Washington, D.C. metro area with clients all across the country. If you'd like to know more about the firm and its diverse practice areas, please visit us on the web at ofplaw.com. Also, I invite you to subscribe to my blog, blueprintforwealth.org, where you'll hear the latest or see the latest or read the latest tax, estate planning, and business planning updates. Today, we're going to be talking about the Taxpayer Relief Act of 2012. This is part two, really, which talks about the estate and gift tax changes that were made as part of this major piece of legislation. You know by now that the Congress on New Year's Day passed the Taxpayer Relief Act and approved the first permanent set of estate, gift, and generation-skipping transfer tax provisions in over a dozen years. The Senate approved the legislation in a bipartisan 89-8 vote about 2 hours into the new year, and the House approved it by a vote of 257-167. Twice as many Democrats as Republicans supported it, but nonetheless, it wouldn't have passed without Republican support. The politicians are going to spin this any number of ways. In the 2014, 2016 campaigns, it'll be a benefit that some people say was long overdue. It's going to be a detriment as well, because included in this legislation are provisions that cause the deficit to increase by over $3.9 trillion over 10 years. Nonetheless, they still have a lot to resolve in the Congress. The debt ceiling still remains to be resolved. And also, the deficit cuts that are automatically scheduled to take place, called sequestration, will come into play unless the Congress reaches some kind of agreement on spending cuts. But the tax bill that was just passed made permanent, so supposedly permanent, the Bush tax cuts that were enacted way back in 2001. Something that the Republican-led Congresses and the Democratic-led Congresses couldn't do over the last 12 years. Nonetheless, they did it. As we've discussed, income tax rates increased only on those making more than $450,000 or $400,000 for single filers, not the widely publicized level that President Obama wanted of $250,000. Also, personal exemptions are phased out, and itemized deductions are phased out for adjusted gross incomes over $300,000 joint filers, $250,000 for single. On the estate and gift tax front, one major change was made that was not in the 2012 legislation. The new rate on the high rate on estates for people dying in 2013 and beyond, a permanent rate, is 40%. It was 35% in 2012 and 2011, and way back before 2001, the rate was over 55%. The Democrats wanted 45, the Republicans were willing to settle at 35. That's how we ended up with 40. It's right the precise midpoint in between those two positions. In fact, this change in rates is the only change from the 2012 estate tax law, believe it or not. The rate change is probably the easiest change to cope with out of all the changes that were made in the 2012 Taxpayer Relief Act. Unlike the exemption, the rate doesn't have effects that carry over from year to year or from gifts to estates. And unlike more structural changes, a 5% rate change doesn't require revision of some of the techniques that we used at the end of 2012 and 2011 to take advantage of the high exemptions. The 40% rate kicks in at taxable estates or cumulative gifts of $1 million and applies to any amounts over that amount. The 35% was reached at $500,000. So for the first $1 million, the run-up for the brackets is about $54,000. The 40% gift tax rate translates into about a 29% rate, exclusive if the donor survives for 3 years after the gift. It's a complicated calculation, but suffice it to say that the rates are lower than they have ever been, except for 2012 and 2011. Now, a lot of states still impose estate tax on the decedents in their states, such as Maryland and D.C. They have top tax rates of 16% for taxable estates that are over $1 million for single individuals and $2 million for married couples. Those rates will cause the effective rate that's imposed on an estate over $10.5 million to be 53.8% in 2009 compared to today about 50%. So if you have a moderately wealthy individual who's got an estate that's less than $5.25 million, which happens to be the new exemption indexed for inflation, the only fear that you've got is the fear of state death tax. And there are ways of avoiding those issues and some planning techniques available that we'll discuss in months to come. The exemption for gift, estate, and generation skipping tax remains unified, much to the surprise of me and many other tax practitioners around the country. We were expecting the Congress to allow the gift tax exemption to drop down to $1 million and then have it indexed for inflation. We were not expecting them to allow the gift tax exemption to remain at the same level as the estate tax exemption, which, again, is $5.25 million per person, which really results in a reunification that occurred in 2011 and 2012 of all of these different rate structures. And that's good news for everyone in the estate and gift tax world. Another change that wasn't made and was retained in the law that was scheduled to expire is something called portability. If you have a married couple and one of the spouses dies without using their federal tax exemption, the surviving spouse is allowed to inherit, if you will, the unused amount of the exemption. That amount remains fixed until the surviving spouse dies. In other words, it's not indexed and it doesn't increase at any point in time. And it doesn't take into consideration the fact that property may appreciate in value, so there are some downsides to portability, but it is a welcome change that was made permanent as part of the 2012 Taxpayer Relief Act. The New Year's Day legislation also makes permanent the relatively apolitical technical provisions that were passed way back in 2001. Some of these included how to allocate your generation skipping transfer tax exemption, how to calculate the GST inclusion ratio, and the extension of time that's available to pay estate tax under Code Section 6166 for businesses or estates owning interests in closely held businesses. There used to be a concern, not anymore at least, that if you died in a year when the exemption had dropped from its previous levels, that the estate may have to claw back some of the gifts that were made in the earlier years. We don't have that concern now, at least while the tax provisions remain in effect as they were approved in the Taxpayer Relief Act of 2012. So, permanence is a welcome change. It's a change that we didn't expect, and frankly, I think there was a lot of give and take on both sides of the aisle. Senator Baucus, who's a Democrat, actually supported the higher exemptions and was in support of the permanent extension of the higher exemptions. And of course, many of the Republicans still are pushing for repeal. But permanence is only in the eyes of the beholder, because it's expected that Congress is going to undertake massive tax reform debates later this year and potentially into 2014, when the Internal Revenue Code is expected to be reviewed in its entirety and to determine how it can be changed to be made more simple for individuals and more simple for corporations. And therefore, I think the estate tax changes as well as the income tax changes will be back on the table, notwithstanding the permanent moniker that was given to them under the American Taxpayer Relief Act of 2012. Among the changes that Congress didn't make in this legislation, which is important for revenue raising, were easy changes like requiring grantor-retained annuity trusts that can be as short as 2 years to have a 10-year term. This is something that the president has been pushing for since he was elected. Or limiting the duration of allocating the GST exemption, or doing away with valuation discounts for entities that are closely held and transferring interests within the family unit. Those changes were not made in the Taxpayer Relief Act of 2012, which is good news because the planning techniques arguably continue and the possibility of engaging in those planning techniques still exists, at least until tax reform is undertaken or deficit reduction revisits the tax changes that were made in the Taxpayer Relief Act of 2012. Of course, this is complicated stuff. And if you've got questions about how it affects you and how to do your estate planning or your income tax planning, give us a call at Odin Feldman and Pittleman at 703-218-2100 or visit us on the web at ofplaw.com.